Tonight I'm going to talk about angelic response to our faith. God sent so many weapons for my body to draw on to fight the battles that lie before them. Excuse me. There is one weapon that I desire for the body to use like never before at this given time, and that weapon is my angelic host. God's been talking about angels for quite some time. And tonight he really wants you to grab a hold of the fact that angels are there to assist you at all times. God went on to say they are standing by to hear your request. Now, Ian Johnson wrote this. Well, in a meeting at which Kathy Walters was ministering in Auckland, New Zealand, I found myself in the spirit. I was invited by an angel to go with him in a chariot to see the way that the Lord uses angels to perform his will in meetings and in the lives of people. The angel said, "Do you understand how the power of faith and how a faith response brings blessings? If you don't have faith tonight to believe that there is angelic beings, then you're never going to get anything from an angel." Let's read that again. The angel said, "Do you understand how the power of faith and how a faith response brings blessings?" He said, "You need to see how it works." This was the angel speaking. And then she went on to say, "We went in the chariot to Western Papua in Indonesia. A man of God was speaking, and there was a great deal of demonic interference and blocking of the purpose of God." Now, let's read that again. A man of God was speaking, and there was a great deal of demonic interference and blockings of the purpose of God. How many times have we begun a service here, and the demons kept blocking what God was trying to say through me? You're going to encounter this, but you're going to have to know how to deal with this also. You've studied your sermon over and over again and everything else, and you get up here and all of a sudden you don't even know what the words are saying, you know. It's because you have demonic blockage, and the demon doesn't want the word to go forth, and so he's trying to mess with the speaker, so the speaker wants to give up, all right? A lot of you in here, you have a lot of charisma, you're very talented, and you can speak on one-on-one basis, but when you get up here before the people, you act like you don't even know what you're talking about. So what is that? It's demonic interference. And he does not want you to share, these demons do not want you to share what God has given you. So always keep that in mind when you're speaking anywhere. All right, the angel motioned me to stand on a rocky outcrop overlooking the meeting. At that moment in the meeting in Auckland, a lady fell off of her chair and began to laugh for no particular reason. All right, so they went to Indonesia, right? Here it said, at that moment in the meeting in Auckland, it wasn't where she was at, it was in a different location. A lady fell off her chair and began to laugh for no particular reason. Soon she was laughing uncontrollably, and I was aware of it in the background. The very moment she began to laugh, perhaps 20 or more angels appeared in Western Papua. See that? She was there in there. Obviously under instruction, and began to remove the demonic opposition. People in the meeting began to come free and hear the word of God. It was amazing. The angel said to me, "The living word says God laughs at his enemies. And when his people hear this laugh and join in, it releases us to bring derision into the enemy's camp." And Psalm 37:12 says, "The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming." And I said, "But the laughter is in New Zealand, and we are in Indonesia." The angel said, "There is no time or space in the spirit, and you need to understand this. Then you will also understand why it is important to be free to express what the Father asks you to express and speak. What you hear the Father saying, even if it doesn't seem relevant to you." You know, Sometimes I get present, why did that? Well, God has a purpose for someplace else, all right? Because the Father is looking for those who will do and say what he asks. Regardless of how foolish it seems, there's always a purpose. Remember I told you the story where God told me to shake these women? This girl and I wouldn't do it. And afterwards she said, if you'd only shook me like God told you to, I would be free. But now I'm still bound. And then I read where this other pastor shook these three older ladies till all their hairpins flew out of their head. And they were set absolutely free. So what did he say here? Regardless of how foolish it seems, there is always a purpose. Laughter in the spirit is only an echo of the laughter from the Father in heaven. It is a weapon against the plans of the enemy, and we must not despise it. Okay, we go back there where God said he laughs at the enemy. Well, I read that. And so when the enemy came to me and talked to me at one point, I just laughed at him. That did not work. I was not God. I laughed at him, and he said, you'll see. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do to me. So just be a little bit careful when you start laughing at the enemy, all right? Make sure it's God telling you. Make sure, what did it say here? Laughter in the spirit is only an echo of the laughter from the Father in heaven. It is a weapon against the plans of the enemy. We must not despise it. All right, so when you girls up here get your laughing and rolling out of your chairs, that's a different type of laughing at the enemy, all right? For those who think it's a new thing in the earth, she said, my 93-year-old mother-in-law says, oh, we had holy laughter in our Terry meetings in Wellington in the 20s and 30s. Everyone knew it was good because of those old Pentecostals. They were very serious people. When I was young, I went to Pentecostal church. They were very serious people. You didn't even move, all right? So this would be something special. She said, I came back to the meeting in Auckland with excitement, knowing that obedience released in our meeting had touched a group of believers several thousand miles away. How amazing the ways of God are. We are just scratching the surface, and there is so much more that we need to understand about the way God uses angels. Then she said there was more instruction to come. The angel took me again in the chariot to show me more of what happened in the spirit realm because of our response. As I entered the chariot, I instantly found myself in the Fiji Islands in a place between Nandi and Singatoka. The angel instructed me to observe a meeting being led by a Fijian friend of mine. There were many people in attendance in an open-air situation. The angel said, watch closely now. My friend spoke the word of God, and there was a positive response from a couple of the men in the crowd. Now, see, I wish you guys would know how to respond. All right, my friend spoke the word of God, and there was a positive response from a couple of men in the crowd. As these men responded, so did the angels. Each response to the word, which were things like a loud hallelujah, a shout of affirmation, or a clap, triggered an angelic response which removed demonic obstacles hindering some of the men. The angels also took men by the shoulders and moved them forward or to one side. The aim of this was to get them lined up with an outpouring coming down from heaven. It reminded me of you guys lining the people up. They'll be back here and you line them all up. And I was thinking, well, you know, you're lining them up to receive whatever glory it is that God's going to drop at the altar call. The men seemed unaware of the angelic help, but knew that they had come under an outpouring from heaven. Each time someone received a touch like this, it lifted their faith level and brought more response, which brought more angelic activity. I began to understand the importance of a faith response to the Word of God. When we started to praise and worship, you people were heavy. You really weren't even free when we first started to praise and worship. And so I said, God, you know, lift this heaviness. Let these people really enter in. I don't know if you ever entered in or not, because I didn't feel it. But I want to tell you one thing. When I was singing, sitting there singing to myself, the angel was standing right here. Now I see that angel, and other people have told me it's standing there, and I never saw it till the other night, and he does stand right there. So he's looking out over you guys, and if you're just standing there mouthing words, you don't move him at all. But if you're really getting into praise and worship, and you're really excited, hitting your tambourines or whatever you do, then that would cause the angels to respond and cause something wonderful to happen. All right? You know, we all have to live life, and right now we're all going through really bad times, and especially now when God is judging us. But we don't have to come into the house heavy laden. I mean, you're not going to be able to get rid of your feelings. I know that you're not. But you can still go before the Father and praise Him. I know there's been many times in years past I've come into the house of God hurting so bad, and I just stand there and just cry during the whole praise and worship, telling God, you see my heart. You and He always met me. But I didn't stand here and complain. I wanted to sing so desperately, but my heart was so heavy, so I just stood here and talked to Him. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In New Zealand, and to an extent Australian, people are not as responsive to the word in verbal or animated fashion as other places. It is important to verbalize and exhibit a response to the preaching of the word. At one night, we had a gentleman sitting back there, and he was just amen all over the place. And I could just feel the excitement in the air. He had that angel going everywhere because he was responding to the truth of God's word. All right, it is important to verbalize and exhibit a response to the preaching of the word, because I saw that it released the angelic. The preacher was doing his bit by speaking the word, and the people were doing their bit by releasing a faith response. So because they did that, then the angel was released then to do what he was sent to do in the service. Every angel that comes into any service, from what I've been reading, is sent there for a purpose. They have an assignment they must complete while they're there. I trust that this short exhortation will inspire you to a faith response that will bring a release of the angelic and lift your faith again and again until revival fills your life. Now, that's what she said. Now, I have heard from Fiji by way of confirmation that my friend was, as I had seen in the spirit, having a meeting as described. He said that they had an amazing move of the spirit in that particular meeting. And why did they have this amazing meeting? Because the people were laughing across the land, right? Many were delivered in the meeting, many were healed, and there were many salvations. My friend was very excited to hear the testimony and was aware of the unusual angelic activity in the meeting. Because of the unusual miracles and events that occurred, the testimony confirmed it. Be prepared to step out of the ordinary and the formal and allow the Spirit to lead you. We could be having this meeting, but God could have another meeting across the ocean doing something to affect this meeting. Are you understanding that? Because we aren't responsive, because we come in here lethargic or whatever, then God knows that the angels aren't able to move here, and so we could have another church doing something to affect this church service, or vice versa. She says, I now have a better understanding of what occurs when God's people praise and shout and respond in faith language to the preaching of the word or to high levels of worship. Even if we are stuck in a small corner of the world, we can change it with our faith response. And as Kathy Walter says, the realm of the spirit, the supernatural realm, the angels and heavenly visitation are meant to be a normal part of our life. Most people are robbed because of religious mindsets. All right. Yeah, but I was praying about something. I'm still praying about something, and I kept hearing help is on the way. Yeah, I was wanting God to really speak to me about something, and yes, Toby Mac song, help is on the way. And then finally tonight, right before I came to church, he said, help is on the way, write it down. And he gave me a word about what I was praying about. But that was a good word because God's getting ready to move on that situation. Are you understanding this? Somehow or other, because of the prayers that have been going up to heaven, God now has sent the angelic host to help in this situation. And like I'm not upset about the situation. I don't feel oppressed about it. It's really not my problem, but I'm still praying about it. And I know that God is starting to intervene, and this whole thing's going to be straightened out. And this is what we have to quit doing. We have to quit making ourselves a part of somebody else's problem. Our job is to pray and hold it up before the Father. And when we do that, it releases the Father to release his angels so they can be sent on assignment to intervene in whatever situation that's going on. All right, Roland Buck tells this story. During one visit from Gabriel and his partner, Sharana, Sharana said that God had given him permission to answer questions that I might have. I was so overcome, I really didn't know what to ask him. I felt a tremendous awe, and yet there was great joy at his presence. There was what? Great joy. Keep that in your spirit. I finally mustered up some courage and said, I have often wondered what angels do in between the times of their known appearances. That's what he asked the angel. 300 or 400 years went by in the Bible without one word having been written about angels. Then he asked the angel, how do you keep from getting bored? The angel looked very puzzled when I asked him this question. Then he answered with the deepest, richest voice I've ever heard. Those appearances mentioned in the Bible were just the times when the Lord opened the eyes of the people so they could see. See that? Because there are always people around for us to take care of. We are busy all the time. Angels are beings of eternity. Time means nothing to them. Age means nothing to them. We talked about different subjects than those I had discussed with Gabriel, and these pertain mostly to their work. He told me about another responsibility angels have, and that is to take care of the wicked and ungodly people. The angel said, you can never comprehend the depth of God's love because it is too great. It is so amazing to see how people can curse and hate God and turn their backs on him. And yet God's arms keep reaching out because he loves them so much. I asked Sharona to tell me about some of his most interesting experiences. One of the most exciting happenings reminded me of how old he must be since angels were created before the earth was formed. It concerned the time when he helped lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He said God gave us the right to punish the Egyptians and to use any of God's weapons. We threw lightning bolts at them. We pulled the wheels off their carts. He didn't actually say it was fun, but he did say it was fixed in his mind because of the great deliverance of Israel when the sea was pushed back. Isn't that awesome? Do you ever think about all these great things that are happening, that angels are a part of that? Even all the destruction that's going on across the land is because angelic help is there. All right. He told me of another interesting event when Israel was on a forced march. The men of Gibeon hurriedly sent messengers to Joshua at Gilgal. Come and help your servants, they demanded. Come quickly and save us. For all the kings of the Amorites who live in the hills are here with their armies. So Joshua and Israel army left Gilgal and went to rescue Gibeon. Don't be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for they are already defeated. I have given them to you to destroy. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. That was a promise from God. And Joshua 10:5 says, God had decreed that, I'm sorry, that's where you can find that. God had decreed that Israel would have the victory. How many times has God told you that and you never get it? God had decreed that Israel would have the victory, so they had to have the victory. But they were too tired to fight. Sharona said the angels had orders to intervene, but not to interfere with what God was doing in man's normal course of life. They had a terrific experience when a group of the warring angels made huge ice balls and threw them down on top of the enemy forces. And Joshua 10:11 said, and it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with a sword. God is always there fighting our battles. He sends his angels. You know, God's just God. And I know he says he's everywhere at all times. So how can he do this? It's his angels that he sends on assignment, and they report back to him. All right? Are angelic beings working in your life? Ask yourself that. Are you really giving God the space to send the angels to help you with your given situations? And how many of us, with all the storms are going around, do we actually take time and pray and to post to angels around our property so that nothing is destroyed on your property? Or are you just saying, boy, look, listen to that wind or look at that rain? I don't do none of that. I just immediately start praying angels around our property. In fact, I have posted them all around my property. And every now and then I say, angels, are you still on duty out there? Because I want to make sure they're constantly around their property so nothing happens. I don't think some of you are using the angels the way you need to, and you're worried about something happening to you, but if you called, have posted the angels, they're keeping you safe. Angelic beings are continually ministering to people in many ways in these present days. Many seeming coincidences are really angels on the job. We haven't fully realized God's use of heavenly host to get his job done because of our limited information concerning angels. I drowned 3 times, but each time a man always appeared and pulled me out of the water and brought me to, and then the man was nowhere around when people wanted to talk to him. And as I was reading this, I thought, I just wonder how come... Has an angel been on assignment to watch over me because I'm a little bit, you know, or what? You know, why was an angel always there watching over me when I drowned? And I literally drowned. They must have already, it must be in my book, you got to be with her because she can do some dumb things. You know what I'm saying? They're with us. God knows us. All right, we haven't fully realized God's use of a heavenly host to get his job done because of our limited information concerning angels. God let Paul see the power of these forces, and also David, who spoke of the tremendous number of angels and the greatness of their power. As you read the word from front to back, you'll see the great mighty battles were won. Where the individuals, there's no way they could have won them. So God had his angels in those battles, fighting those battles for them. Hebrews 1:14, Paul said, every one of them are sent forth of God to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. In Joshua 5:13, the children of Israel had just crossed over the Jordan and were ready to invade the promised land. Joshua went out and saw a man with a sword in his hand. Listen to what he says here. Joshua went out and saw a man with a sword in his hand and asked him if he was for the Israelites or for their adversaries. If an angel were to tell believers today what he told Joshua, they would probably be depressed because this angel said wrong on both counts. I'm not with your enemies, and I'm not part of your army. I am part of another army, and I have come with orders from God. Standing all around me and behind me in great mighty columns are myriads of angels. You can't see them, Joshua, but there is a host of them, and I'm the captain. Because someone asked me if this scripture was referring to Jesus as the angel, I asked Sharona, and he said it was not, because he, Sharona, was there as the captain of the host of the Lord. When Joshua fell on his face to worship, Sharona told him to take off his shoes in Joshua 5:15, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. This is the identical thing the angel of the Lord said to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus 3:4-5. Sharona said that God, in his great plan, had it all mapped out. Jericho was the first city they came to, and with a great victory for God here, the other kings and armies would fear the Israelites and know that God was on their side. See, at least they had enough brain to know that God was on their side. When they saw a great miracle, so God sent Sharona with a band of angels and with his orders for Jericho. God knew exactly how the city was going to be conquered. If we could somehow reach back into time and take a look at God's battle plans for this angelic army, they would probably read something like this: the children of Israel are our allies. Is the demonic realm really afraid of you? If you're really praying the way you ought and believing that the angelic host are there to assist you, they are afraid of you. Are you listening to this? But if you're not doing your job, then they are not afraid of you, because they know that no angel will come to your assistance. They are going to march, all right, we're talking about Jericho, right? They are going to march around those walls for 7 days, and on the last day they will go around seven times. I have already given them their orders, so we are going to have to coordinate those with what we do here. The priests are to blow their trumpets, and the people are to shout at a given signal. When you hear their shout, push the walls down. See, we don't even know how to obey what God tells us to do, and that's why the angels can't help us. Sharona told me the angels took their positions on top of those walls, waiting for the shout. Israel didn't even know what was going on, but God did, and the angels did. They waited, and when they heard the shout, every angel who was there pushed with all his might and strength, and the great big thick walls went down into the ground. Those walls were thick enough to build a house on, and if they had tipped over or had been pushed over, they would still have been a wall, because they were about as thick as they were high. God said to the angels, push them down flat. And that's in Joshua 6:20. They didn't even have to pick their way through cracks and rubble, because their walls were pushed down into the ground. I mean, that in itself is so awesome. You ever try to push something down into the ground? Didn't work, does it? Unless you dig a hole. This was an act of the angels. Can't you just visualize Sharona looking at his orders and noticing a special condition? Now listen to this. God had made for one little part of the wall. When Rahab protected the two spies sent to observe the promised land, God made a promise to her and assured her that he would protect her and her family. I can just see Sharona ordering some of his angels to go to that part of the wall and hold it up, while the others pushed down the rest of the wall. Someone told me recently that the actual excavation shows the walls were pushed down like an elevator shaft. Think of the pressure the angels put on them. I've also been told that in the archaeological findings of old Jericho, there is still evidence of the wall where Rahab's house was. The complete study of angels is beautiful. The 13th chapter of Judges points out an exciting truth about them. Now, if you don't believe anything else, if nothing else excites you, this wall going down into the ground, and then one part of the wall staying up out of the ground, should cause you to wonder what is really going on. Judges 13. Again, the children of Israel did evil. It's starting at verse 1. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. You don't want to do anything bad. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Dantes, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat any unclean thing. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Let's just stop there. Little Isaiah, God spoke to me one day, and he said, "You tell James he's going to have a son." And he told him exactly what he should call him. And he said, "Because I am going to use him to minister my word as a young man." And Jimmy said, "Oh, that," he laughed at me, "but there's little Isaiah." And he named him what God told him to name him. And Isaiah loves the Lord with all of his heart. So when God tells you things, please believe it. Don't poke fun at it, you know. All right, so the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome, but I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, 'O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born.' And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again." You know, I was amazed at reading the story. He never went to the husband. He kept coming back to the woman. "And she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband, said to him, 'Look, the man has just now appeared to me, the one who came to me the other day.' So Manoah rose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, 'Are you the man who spoke to this woman?' He said, 'I am.'" So you see, he keeps saying, "Are you the man?" So the angel was in the form of a man. All right. What's the Bible say? Be careful, you might be entertaining angels unaware. And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. He always thought it was just a man. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask me my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord, and he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. As the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, it happened that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. The Bible tells us that we do entertain angels unaware. If I was you, I would be asking God, "Open my spiritual eyes to see who I'm ministering to, and it let me see isn't an angel of the Lord. We need to ask God to open up our spiritual eyes so we can see the angels. You know, what bothers me is that if you don't see it, you don't believe it. And that's not faith. Faith is believing without seeing. God has an eternity full of angels. He is not left without resources. And even though he could do everything himself because he is God, he has angels and people working with him all the time. The angel of the Lord kept Balaam from cursing Israel in Numbers 23:20. There is so much order in God that he even made a donkey talk. It really frightened Balaam, and he tried to force the donkey to move, but the donkey was stubborn, so instead he turned around and said, "Balaam, haven't I served you well all these years?" That would have made me sit up and take notice in itself, right? Then Numbers 22:20, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. So then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now, the donkey saw the angel. Now, there's something that an animal saw the angel. And I really do believe that animals do see the angels. If you ever watch how animals act, you think, why are they doing that? I really believe with all my heart they're seeing the angels of God. Now, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right nor to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, now this is the donkey talking to the man, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Then here's Balaam talking back to the donkey. And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hands, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord. I mean, this whole story is amazing. You know, the fact that donkey speaking to this man, the man speaking back to the donkey. And I know this wasn't something that happened every day. All right. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. That donkey spoke because of the presence of God's angel, even though he didn't know how to speak. God wants you to have your eyes open tonight. As long as your spirit man, he wants your spirit man wide open to receive the truth about this other weapon, which is the angels. God told me many years ago that his people are not using all the weapons in his word when they go to battle. I've been using the angels ever since I've been born again. For some reason or other, I just believed they were there, and I've been using them. even though I never saw them until the other service. Some people just say they see angels and they really don't, because they just want everybody to look at them. And I tell people, tell me, I saw the angels. I said, well, I didn't, but I'm glad you did. I'm not going to say I saw something I didn't see. We don't have to do that. So tonight, God wants to open up your eyes so you can see in the spirit realm and see the angelic army that is standing by to assist you in your daily walk. If each one of you sitting in here tonight or in the sound of my voice, if you really went over and looked at your past, you would know that angels were with you, or you wouldn't be here today. You'd be dead. But because you were so caught up, you know, in your flesh, you just didn't think of anything, probably. Or some of you just thought, I was just lucky, you know. But you weren't just lucky. God has a purpose for your life, and he sent angels to be around about you to keep you safe from all harm. Mary Catherine Baxter, God took her to hell. And, you know, and at one point he left her in hell. And if you read her book, it was terrible without, you know, Jesus being with her. You don't ever want to be without the angelic host around about you. You need them to stay safe. You need them to really even encourage you in ways that only the angels and God knows you can be encouraged by an angel. The reason why, you know, God had me do this was because the angels are working with us right now. With the darkness that's out there, and we go out there in the darkness, we're going to have to be kept safe. What's the guy's name? Ramirez? You know, and, you know, when he would go to hurt a Christian, he couldn't touch him because they had their angel there protecting them. So, you know, even if somebody wanted to shoot you, if you really are walking with God and have your angels around about you, they couldn't shoot you because your angel's there to protect you. How many of you know, this has happened to me quite a few times. I've been in a car and just about in an accident, and I would see the car go through my car and never touch me because the angels of God were there to protect me. There's a word for that, and I forgot what it is. And how many of you know that you were just about had an accident, but for some reason or other you didn't get hurt, you didn't have the accident? It's because the angels of God are pushing you out of the way. First time that happened to me, I go into work and told the people. They already thought I was crazy. And when I told them that story, they really knew I was crazy. But, you know, I didn't know about angels at that point, and I didn't know I was being protected by God. So the altar's open tonight for those of you who want God to open up your eyes into the spirit realm so you can really see the angels, not just talk about them, but have faith. Have faith to believe that angels are all around about you.